To preach. You can take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And we will look at starting in verse 12. Mark 11, verse 12. Have you ever desired to have a powerful prayer life? A life of prayer that saw God work in miraculous ways? I know reading through different missionary biographies, you hear of men such as George Mueller, who saw God work in amazing ways through his ministry, through the orphanages, and how he just trusted God for the little things in life and for big things. And he saw God do miraculous things through the orphanages. And I know his stated purpose and goal was that God would be glorified and that those under him would see the great God that he served. And each of those young people in his orphanage would see the power of God through that ministry. And they did see God's power and deliverance in many, many different ways. But you know what? That's not just something for the people in the past. Powerful prayer isn't just for those that we read books about. It's for us today. And because we serve a living and true God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And if we, as we read in this passage of scripture takes place right after the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And he obviously is nearing the crucifixion. And that had a heavy burden upon his heart, as we see, especially through the Garden of Gethsemane, how he had great sweat, drops of blood as he prayed in the garden there, the agony that he was going through. But you know what? He knew that the disciples were going to need something going into those last days of his earthly ministry. And he knew that they were going to face a big trial of faith, a big test of their faith. And so these words that Jesus is going to share with us come just before one of the greatest trials that these disciples would face in their lives. And so I think it's very pertinent to us as Jesus was going to leave them, they were going to face the commission that Christ gave them, obviously through the Holy Spirit's help as he came to dwell inside the believers, but they needed these words. And I believe they apply to us today. Starting in verse 12 of Mark chapter 11. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Notice the problem that they faced, or that Jesus faced. Well, Jesus was hungry, and he wanted to eat something. And so as they were coming from Bethany, possibly from Mary and Martha, from the house where Lazarus lived, coming from there to Jerusalem, maybe they didn't get breakfast that day, and they're heading out, and Jesus sees this fig tree full of leaves. And Jesus came to it, if by chance he'd find something to snack on and to eat. I mean, the fig tree looked beautiful. It should have had fruit on it. That place was actually called, Bethphage was known for its figs, the place of the figs. And many fig trees grew there. And so it would be expected that this fig tree would have fruit. If you go down the road to Mr. Griffin's orchard, I haven't gone down there recently. But you know what? If you go down there right now, he's told me how the trees are just loaded with apples. And he doesn't know what he's going to do with all those apples. That's a good problem to have. But you know what? There's a problem with this path, with this day. There is no figs on this tree. And there should have been. It says in the verse, it says that the time of harvest was not yet. So they hadn't harvested the figs yet, so there should have been figs on the tree. But there were none. And Jesus said, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter. Now imagine if you have some sort of fruit tree in your yard, and for years maybe it produced. But then finally, year after year, it just stopped producing. And so you just went up to it one day and said, no one's going to eat fruit of you again. And the next day, what happens? Well, let's look at, skip down to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, the disciples and Jesus, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. So they're passing by. They had obviously gone home, gone to where they're staying for the night, had a rest. They got up the next morning, coming back to Jerusalem, and the fig tree is dried up from the roots. Imagine that if you woke up the next morning after you said something to that fruit tree that wasn't producing anything, and you woke up and it was shriveled up, all the leaves were completely brown, there's literally no life left in it, even down to the roots. You know what, after this hard winter, we had some trees that died. But you know what, if you look closely, a lot of times at the bottom, at the base, there's still life in the roots. It might die back completely to the ground, but there's still life in the roots. We had someone return a couple plants this past year to our nursery. And you know what, they looked dead, completely dead. But you know what, I looked at the plant, and it was life. There's life in the roots. It was still green down there. And if they would have given it a couple more weeks, it probably would have sprouted out. But you know, this tree that Jesus cursed was completely dead, dried up from the roots. You know what? It was a pretty amazing thing, the disciples. And Peter, the one who just stated the obvious, he says, Look, Master, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And what was Jesus' response? Have faith in God. The point of this picture that Christ was painting was, you know, have faith in God. And there's been many commentators I know who have written about what does this fig tree represent. It represents the religion in Israel, how it looked great, but yet on the inside it was hollow, it was empty, and there's nothing to the religion in Israel. And there is probably some truth to that, but we're not going to really focus on that this evening. I mean, you can see what Jesus did. He went into the temple. They had turned the temple, the house of prayer, to a den of thieves, he says, a house of merchandise. That wasn't the point of the purpose of God's house. But we're not going to look at necessarily what the fig tree represents in and of itself, but we're going to look at what God is trying to teach us and what Jesus told us. He said to have faith in God. What is faith? Well, faith is complete confidence and trust. And you know, our faith is supposed to be, our complete confidence, trust, and dedication is supposed to be in Jesus Christ. Him alone. No one else, nothing else in this world but Jesus Christ. And isn't it an amazing privilege that we get to have faith in an almighty, all-powerful God? The God of eternity. Isaiah 57:15 says, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Now the God who is in the high and holy place, the God of eternity, we get to go to, and he wants us to have faith in him. It's not that he just wants us to, we're actually commanded to have faith in God. And that's really the point here in this passage. It's plain and simple. Have faith in God. You know what? The disciples saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter made the obvious statement of it is dead. And Jesus' response is, have faith in God. You know what? God is one that can be trusted. And Acts 17:31 is just a good illustration of how God can be trusted. Acts 17:31, Paul is preaching here. And he said, Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. You know, we can have complete confidence in God because of the resurrection, because of his resurrection from the dead. You know, Jesus didn't stay dead in the grave, but because of that resurrection, we can have complete confidence in our God. So what does Jesus want us to do? We see here in verses 23 to 26, Christ is going to apply this to our prayer life. In verse 23, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, as they're going to Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives is right there. And he's using that as an illustration, it seems. If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. That's an impossible command. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart. So there's that complete trust and complete confidence, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Shall have whatsoever he saith. Now this is a guarantee here. Now if you shall believe, it shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever he saith. So this is just another illustration of how our prayer life should be. And Jesus says in verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." So we see here, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray." So first of all, in order to see God use us in a great way to see powerful answers to prayer, we have to pray here. We actually have to pray. That may sound pretty simple, but you know what? Are you praying daily before the Lord? Are you getting into God's presence each and every day? I know this is the busy time of year for a lot of us, but are you taking that time each and every day to set aside quality time before God where you get rid of the cares of this world, you set those on the back burner, and you just get alone with God, and you spend time with Him. You spend time in His Word. It says, what things soever you desire when you pray. You know what? In order to have the right desires when you pray, you have to spend time with God. And George Mueller, who saw Great Answers to Prayer, who I mentioned before, he would spend 2 to 3 hours every single day in God's Word, time with God. And I'm sure he had a way busier schedule than I ever had, running all these orphanages, taking care of all these children. You know, he took time with God. He knew God's heart. He knew God's what God's will was. And he knew what to pray. But these words are so simple. Whatever you desire when you pray, you know, you can't think. You can't hope in the sense of hope that we think of. Well, I hope that this will happen. Or I hope we have a sunny day tomorrow. No, not that type of hope. This is the confident expectation. When you pray, believe that ye receive them. Believe ye receive what you ask for, and ye shall have them. Now, this is something that you believe ahead of time for. You say, I prayed about this. I know God's going to answer. When is the last time you can say that in your prayer life, you had confidence that God is going to do this? Even though I haven't seen physically the answer, I'm believing that God is going to do this. God is going to save this person. God is going to work in a great way. You know, God is going to restore my relationship with someone. Or God is going to do a great working right here in Maquonago. When is the last time that you had that confident expectation in what God is going to do based upon what you prayed? If that hasn't happened in a while, folks, we're missing out on a great opportunity to see God work in a great and mighty way. In order to see great answers to prayer, you have to have a desire from God. You have to pray. And you have to believe. God will answer. Because, you know, when you believe that you receive them, you will have them. It says it right there. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You know, that's something that you receive by faith. That's not something you're going to see necessarily right that second physically happen. But believe that ye receive them, and you will have them. And notice, before we'll come back to these verses, but notice verses 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. In order to see God work in a great way through our prayer life, there can't be... Jesus is putting this here for a reason. And if you have hindrances, or if you have bitterness, or a lack of... if you don't have a forgiving spirit, or if there's an issue between you and another brother or sister, that has to be taken care of first. There has to be forgiveness. There has to be, part of the forgiveness is restoration. And we must see forgiveness between brothers and sisters in Christ. There can't be any grudges that are held, but there has to be complete forgiveness, a complete release from our hearts of maybe anger towards someone, bitterness towards someone, maybe something that you think they did to you. There has to be a complete release in order to see powerful answers to prayer. There can't be any hindrances, or there can't be any unresolved things between you and another person. You must go and make those steps to see restoration between you and another. Maybe it's a loved one, maybe a brother or sister in Christ. Because there has to be that complete freedom between you and God. That's why it's so important to get your relationships right horizontally, so that we can have our prayers answered to God, before God. Otherwise, He's not going to hear you. He will not hear you if you're holding on to something here on this earth. Maybe some grudge, something that happened in your past. You're not going to see powerful answers to prayer. So release those things. Forgive those that maybe have wronged you, or those see those relationships restored so that you can see those powerful answers to prayer. So this is pretty simple. In order to see powerful answers to prayer, what is the formula? We talked about forgiveness. But as we step back, we see that we simply need to ask and believe that we receive them, and you shall have them. There's a verse in the previous chapter, Mark 10, 23. Jesus says, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven?" And the disciples are going, Jesus is talking, and the disciples are saying something to Jesus here, and the disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them to have that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Imagine that. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that's something impossible. Christ is talking about something impossible here, a camel going through the eye of a needle. And it's easier for that to happen than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And what is it? What do the disciples say? And they were astonished, out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." You know what? The things that we face in our day-to-day lives, there's a lot of impossibilities. You know what? Seeing God work here in Maquonago is an impossibility. Wherever God has called you, it's an impossibility to see people reached. But you know what? That's the commission He's given us. He's commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And not simply to preach the gospel, but to see souls discipled, saved, baptized, churches built. And you know, those are impossibilities. And to see the work of God go forward is impossible. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. The next time you're tempted to say, oh, that'll never happen. You know what? Step back and realize that God's the one who created this world. So you know what? He can overcome any impossibility. He's the God of eternity. You know, we were just talking to a man on Monday night, Thomas, Matthew and I, and a man who is filled with bitterness, hatred towards God. He had had someone, I don't know if it was his brother or one of his children, had bone cancer at a young age. His mother had had some serious health issues, and he was bitter against God. And basically, we told him, obviously, it's because of sin that there's these health problems, that the wages of sin is death. And that's the only answer, really, you can give. Obviously, God cares about us, and he wants us. He cares about the needs that we have. But you know what? There's two things. We basically told this man, you know what? You can either decide to be bitter, or you can decide to trust God through these impossible circumstances. Because you know what? God wants to use each one of us in a powerful way. He wants to see your life used in an amazing way. And he wants your life to be marked by impossibilities. You know, this doesn't just apply to prayer to have faith in God. This applies to every area of life. There's an impossible situation. Well, obviously, it should lead to prayer right away. Pray to God, trust him, and he will deliver. Faith in God is something that should all be all the time. And we must have that complete confidence in God, but especially in regards to prayer. I mean, just thinking back to this last November when we had the Veterans Dinner, I knew that was going to be an impossibility to see God work through that, to bring out people from the community. But you know what? As we believed God to do an impossible work, he did it. Now, I had complete confidence in God that he was going to work through that outreach. And he did. And that can happen all the time. You know what? Vacation Bible School is coming up. Are you going to trust God for an average vacation Bible school? Or are you going to trust God to see souls saved, families added to this church, and going on for God? That's impossible. It's really not impossible to get people to come to vacation Bible school. I mean, you can get them to come. You know, it is impossible to see souls saved, added to this church, and going on for God. And God wants us to have faith in him for that. That's his will. And you know, James talks about how, well, why don't you always receive answers to prayer? Well, sometimes it's because we're obviously not asking in faith. We have not because we ask not. But you know what? We also don't have because we don't have sometimes what we ask for because we're asking it to consume it upon our own lusts. So you know what? A good thing sometimes as you're praying for God's discernment and wisdom is even to ask God, you know what, God, if I'm asking this to make myself look good or to make maybe people look at me in a different way so that they think I'm a great person of faith, you know what, show me that so that I don't pray for this. But you know what, when you have something such as promises in God's word that are crystal clear, that you know is God's will, there should be no fear in asking God to work in a great way. You know what? I believe it's God's will that we see souls saved even this summer. And I challenge each one of you to make that decision to trust God for the impossible and to have faith in God. Every person here, imagine if each one of us decided to have faith in God, the God of eternity, the creator God who created this whole world. Nothing is too hard for God. I challenge each one of you to get alone with God each and every day, but even tonight, and say, God, what do you want me to trust you for? Imagine if each person here asks God, okay, God, what step of faith do you want me to take this summer? What prayer do you want me to ask you for this summer? What soul do you want me to trust you for? Ask God, how do you want me to have faith? And he's going to lead you. And imagine each person in this room tonight, if we trusted God in a great to do great and mighty things, imagine what would happen. Imagine how Maquoneago would be changed. But it's going to take that each and every day, getting alone with God and praying each and every day for God to do the impossible. It's not just going to happen out of the blue. I mean, once you can't just pray once and then expect God to answer. He can, but if you just decide, okay, if you have I'm just going to pray this prayer, I want to see 10 souls saved this summer, but then you forget about it. No, when you pray every single day for something, it gives you a burden and a drive to go and gets you desperate before God to see him work. And we need to have that confident expectation in God. You know, in the morning, if you say, if you are talking with God in the morning, have your morning devotion, say, God, would you lead me to a soul today that needs to hear about Jesus Christ? Guess what? He's going to lead you to someone that needs to hear about the Lord. If you don't pray, he may lead you, but you won't be ready. And you'll miss your opportunity. So we need to have that every day. Just get alone with God. Talk to him. Ask him for impossible, the impossibility, and to do the impossible. And I believe that we will see God work in a great and mighty way. But it's not simply asking. It's believing that he will, that you will receive what you've asked for. And so tonight, when we go to prayer, let's just make it practical. When you're praying, realize you're praying to the all-powerful, almighty God. And that the only way you're going to receive what you ask for is if you believe that you're going to receive it. And that's been a challenge to me. When I'm actually physically praying, sometimes we can, spiritually praying, when we are praying before God, sometimes it just becomes, I guess you could say, something that we do. It becomes a ritual. But let's not let prayer become a ritual in our lives. But we need to really be communing with our God. Jesus, it says in John 4:24, we worship God in spirit and in truth. So no, you have to be consciously thinking in your prayer. And I mean, I found myself that can happen. We need to cry out to God. God, help me to stay focused during these prayer times and really believe you to do great and mighty things. And consciously think, you know what? I'm talking to God right now. And he's hearing my prayer. And when you consciously think that, it really moves you to believe God for the impossible, because he's actually heard you. So that's just a challenge for this evening. Have faith in God. Imagine Maquoneago Baptist Church filled with people who have faith in God and who even tonight, imagine what's going to happen this week, because there's over 100 folks here or so that are believing God to do something. You know what? Don't let one prayer tonight go before the throne of God without complete faith and trust that God's going to answer. Because that's what God wants us. You know, when God prayed, when Jesus prayed that prayer that the fig tree would be cursed, you know what? He wasn't hoping that it would happen. He knew it was going to happen. And we can have that same confident expectation that our prayers will be answered. Just the same confidence that Jesus had that his prayers were going to be answered. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity that we have to come before you and bring the requests that we have burdened on our heart to you. And Lord, I pray that you would show us how you want us as a church to have faith in you this summer to do. Lord, we know that you are the God of the impossible who wants to do great and mighty things. And I pray that you would just increase our faith, that we would believe you for great and mighty works. And Lord, we know that through Vacation Bible School, you want to see souls saved and families added to this church and going on for you. And we pray that that would happen. And Lord, I pray that you would lead each one of us, even in our personal life, to fully trust you and believe you during our prayer time, that we wouldn't just act like you're not a God that's going to not answer. But Lord, may we go in prayer, just having that confident expectation in an all-powerful and almighty God who will answer prayer. And I just pray that you do that in each one of our hearts this evening, that we would have that faith in God that you want us to have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.